Hello and welcome to the ROH Review Interviews. I'm your host, three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman. Unfortunately, my co-host Stephen Jackson can't be here today, but I'm delighted to be joined by the one-time ROH Tag Team Champions, HC Loke, Tony DeVito, Carnage Crew. Hi guys, how you doing today?
Tab and Oliver, good.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Very cool. First ever three-way chat, and we're doing okay so far, so that's good.
Carnage Crew making history again. Woo!
That's what we do.
Yeah, so to go right back to the beginning, guys, in 2002, before you debuted in ROH, you heard about this new company coming on the scene. What did you make of it? Was you a fan of the product before you debuted?
There was no product before we debuted. I was actually the very first in-ring talent to walk through a Ring of Honor curtain on the very first show.
Yeah.
And that was to set up so we had known I had known at least that the company was coming, that it was starting. And there were, and it was started by guys that we met when we were both in ECW.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty excited about that. And I had put feelers out. I had another tag team partner at the time. I'm sure that'll come up. I had done what you do, sent feelers out, sent emails to see about being a part of this new company.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked that idea as well. So like I said, I was there from the very first show, and probably, I think it was about the third show we brought in Tony, and then we had that long run. So
second show.
No, because the second show was the was the time when my former tag team partner got booed out of the building.
Oh, I think that's the first. All right, so I'm third show. I thought the second show. That's not good.
No, first show was when I had the ref shirt on and Homicide got me with the fork and gave me the cop killer and I was scared.
Right.
And then second show, we did the run in with my former tag team partner, who I haven't seen since then. And then. You got
so
the big
I'm
call.
The third show. I thought I was the second show. So for me, I mean, I knew about Ring of Honor, but I wasn't trying to do anything really at that time. I was just working a regular job and, you know, wrestling locally. Mm-hmm. And then basically there was a spot for me to come in with Loke. So I hadn't seen the product before that.
No.
I remember the first night I came in and I watched the show and I went up to Gabe and I was like, Gabe, whether we're part of this or not, you guys got something going on here. So, you know, we'd like to be a part of this because it was really cool. And, these guys were doing things that I hadn't really seen before and I didn't do.
Mm.
But it was intriguing, you know. So I liked the product right from the very beginning. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. I know you was involved in the beginning, HC Loke, because obviously the Extreme Official thing, and then you rang Tony. I meant in terms of you guys debuting, but you took me back to before then, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So in terms of your previous partner, do you want to talk about them at all?
Sure. Well, you know, just he's a great dude. I haven't seen him in a long time. He was a student of Tony's, and that's how I met him. Tony and I had known each other since we were on the Independence before either of us went to ECW, and you know, so I've been stuck with him for a long time. But anyway,
thank you, Marty.
So he was a student of Tony's and basically he just came in and it wasn't a real good fit. You know, he's a great dude, good friend, but you know, at that was a different level. You know, Ring of Honor wasn't your local independent group. And I'm not gonna say anything bad about the guy. It wasn't for him, not at that level. So we had to do something. So,
well, they needed a star. So they brought me in. We need star power.
Yeah, they needed the Baldies, Tony DeVito, get him in.
That's funny. I remember the first match we had, and then we were celebrating on the outside. I forget who we beat up. I don't know if it was Don Marcos. We did something. We beat whoever. And then I roll outside the ring, and they're like, DeVito, it could be worse. They could have put you back with Angel, which is my partner from the Baldies. So I laughed. It was funny.
Yeah. Like I said, tiredness is probably playing a factor in this, HC Loke, but I couldn't remember your previous partner to Tony DeVito. So,
No, in fact, that was edited off the tape. So, I mean, don't know if that was a thing.
Like I said, I remember the Extreme Official, and then you called DeVito Well, you called somebody. Yeah. It was Tony, and you kind of go from there. Yeah. So your debut as the Carnage Crew on ROH Night of Appreciation in 2002. What were your thoughts and feelings on this match? And obviously, it was a tribute to the late great Latino Heat Eddie Guerrero. Any special memories you've got of Eddie?
Quite a few. My personal biggest one was when he had his it was around that he had that hiatus from in between runs at WWE. Mm-hmm. And there was Tony, you'll remember Sparta from Boston. used to run he'd always run two or three nights in a row. We'd do that every couple months, and that's just my Eddie story. He was on that loop with us, and he had to be packed into a car with a bunch of us indie whatever guys, you know, singing Poison songs at the top of our lungs with him with his bag on his lap, four of us in the back seat, three of us in the front seat. I mean, that's wrestling, but, you know, here's this big star, and he must have thought, man, I was at WrestleMania last year. You know, that. I'll never forget Poison's Talk Dirty to Me was on the radio, and we're all singing along, and it gets to the big part of it, and we all yell, "Take it, Eddie!" And he goes, "Talk a dirty to me." It was great. So that's what he
did. Yeah, for me, I only met Eddie that one night in Ring of Honor, so that's the only time I met Eddie. So, besides that, you know, my memories of him is coming into ECW at the time, and I was like, "Man, this dude is awesome." Yeah, you know, and him and Ray having those matches back in ECW was great. So that's my memories of Eddie Guerrero. That's what I like. Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of Eddie Guerrero's, you know, class to allow Brian Danielson, Loki, and Christopher Daniels to main event the first show when it was supposed to be Eddie versus Super Crazy for you, HC Loeb, that's got to be a really classy thing for Eddie to have done.
It was awesome, and I mean, I don't know whose idea that was, if he volunteered that, or if that was the ROH guys themselves, but it was really smart, you know, because here's these stars that are going to draw the house, but here's our guys and they position them afterwards. And I, even at the time, I thought that's brilliant. And it's very cool of Eddie to not be offended by that and let that happen. So,
And I'm going to get back to yourself. So obviously I just wanted to, a huge fan of Eddie Guerrero. So you guys were there. So I've got to ask those questions. One of the staple matches for the Carnage Crew, bunkhouse matches. What was it like preparing for these as a stipulation?
You just know you're gonna fight that night. So I don't think there's any preparation as far, you know, I mean, tape up good, you know, that type of stuff, but you know you're just gonna fight that night. That's really what you're in for. What's the first one we did? Was that Abdullah and Homicide? Was that the first podcast?
No. It was before then. It was the first ever like barbed wire used in ROH, I believe, against the Natural Born Sinners of Homicide and Boogaloo.
That was fun.
Oh, that's right. That's what led to him coming in with Abdullah, right? Okay.
We did, did the old school. Everybody's a Dusty Rhodes fan. We've all got Dusty stories. So we did the wrestling in the jeans and, you know, knee pads on the outside of the jeans. And
Did I wear jeans?
I sure did, yeah. I probably talked you into it, as a matter of fact, because how it would normally go. Yeah.
Since you're saying about this, do you have a favorite Dusty Rhodes story?
Boy, there's a few of them. I mean, I wish we had more time with them than we did, of course.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite one was, just the idea of when he was in ECW and he had his feud with Steve Corino, I had like a side story feud with Steve Corino. So when they wrestled on pay-per-view, it was Dusty's idea for me to ref that match and then help him win. Okay. I mean, that wasn't a Paul Heyman thing, or that was Dusty, who I'd never met. But he was familiar with the product, and it was his idea. He requested me to do it. So that was pretty cool. And then later on, when we were in Ring of Honor, and Tony and I invented the scramble matches, and then later the scramble cage matches, at the end of one of those, Dusty came out after we won with a case full of beer, and we got to have that moment with him, with the full, because we had other person, and two, now it's pretty awesome.
That's so, the same one for me, too, that one, then, for Scramble Cage. That was cool having Dusty come out drinking beers. And then we did some promos with him, too, which was pretty cool, too. But
yeah,
to celebrate the ring with him that night, that was really cool.
Yeah, that was very cool, yeah.
And like I said, you was talking about the Natural Born Sinners, and you was in a feud with the Hit Squad as well. Two hard-hitting tag teams. Any memories and thoughts on these feuds that you had? First of all, with the Natural Born Sinners, apart from the Bunkhouse match we've just talked about.
That was the first time we'd ever met those. Well, I think DeVito, I think Tony might have.
I knew those guys, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. And so here I am in the ring, and, you know, rowdy, crazy Philadelphia crowd. Here they come, and one of them's got a chainsaw with the boat running. I'm like, these guys know this is a show, right? but you know, all four guys you just mentioned right there, but they all kind of came out of the same area and just professional, but the way we like it too, you know, professional, great, great, safe matches, but hard hitting, boom, bah, boom, you know, just you're in there kind of a gentleman's agreement of, you know, we're going to take care of each other, but we're also going to lay this stuff in and give these people something special. So, you know, those were good times, good matches.
And for yourself, Tony?
Yeah, like, you know, I knew those guys beforehand, like Loke said, so I did a lot of shows down in the city, so, but that's before Homicide, you know, people really knew about Homicide, but, you know, I knew about Homicide, so it was great. I loved working with him, and I wish we could have got to work with him later on when he became, you know, the Homicide that he is now, but I'm glad we got to, like, he actually even said it the other day. We were on Facebook, and Homicide just mentioned, he said, our first feud was Carnage Crew. And, you know, I think back, I'm like, wow, that was our first, you know. But then we had Christopher Street Connection. Those dudes were from that area, too. That was a great feud, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that one. So those were fun. Got to do something different. Yeah.
Totally different for us. That was cool.
Well, it was sports entertainment kind of against, you know, hard-hitting Smash Mouth brawlers.
Yeah, but those dudes brought it too, though. They're pro wrestlers, man. You know, even though they did the gimmick, they still, you know, those guys were hard hitting too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Certainly. And then, like you said, probably the biggest moment of your career up until that point, main event in Night of the Butcher against Homicide and Abdul the Butcher. Firstly, you know, what was it like main event in the ROH show?
That was the first one we main evented, right? I think it was.
And,
it was cool because that was the place to be at the time. It really was. Like, ECW was gone, and you know, I maybe TNA had started, but even if it had, it was like
June.
Yeah, this is the place to be. This is the cool promotion. This is the one that people are buzzing about.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I remember that meaning a lot to me that it was on that we were going on last. So that was cool, you know, and cool to be in there with Abby. Of course, we've got stories about that, but you know, it was a cool night, very cool.
Yeah, what's cool about that is that, you know, it built up to us being the main event. You know, like, you know, I've been in main events with, you know, ECW where it's like, okay, you guys are main event tonight. There was no story to it, you know, but this was a build up just for us and those guys. So that's what was cool about it.
Yeah.
You know, and like Loke said, man, the internet was buzzing at that time about Ring of Honor. So to main event, that was really cool. And it was built up for us, which that's even better, you know. And the funny thing in the locker room that night, I'll give a little secret away. So we're in the locker room and we're, you know, Abby really didn't say anything. He just kept repeating, when the time is right, brother, when the time is right. So we didn't really know anything. So me and Homicide had to go, all right, D, me and you were hanging out together the whole night, and Loke and Abby are hanging out the whole night. That
worked out great for me.
I touched Abby once.
That worked out great for me.
Sorry, buddy. I love you.
It was – well, we tried to go over a match in the back, and every time he said it different, like completely different. So at one point,
when the time is right. When the time is right, I'll remember it.
I mean, not that you can talk out those kind of matches much anyway, but, you know, but there was a couple points in that match that I will, I don't know how inside baseball you want to get here, but Tony and I have a pretty famous story amongst each other that happened with me and Abby during that match.
yeah, you're welcome to say whatever, HG, it's all good.
So, of course, if you're working with
Poor choices he made that night. Poor choices, I'm going to tell you that.
Well, it seemed like such a good idea at the time, right? Of course, if you're working with Abby, you're gonna bleed. He's gonna bleed. I don't even know what anybody hit him with, so he would bleed. But
I didn't touch him.
So first move of the match, he couldn't. It was hard for him to get in the ring, so he yanked me out under the bottom of the rope, and stabbed me in the head with his fork. Down I go. Do what we do. I come back up, and he goes, "I said get color." I'm like, I think I just did. So, boom, he starts going to go down. Now I have two with me. That's the way I do it because, as Tony always says, and I'll say this without cursing, I get crap for color. I don't, you know, I either get stitches.
I only need one.
So I do a good number on myself at this point, and I can see blood drip off my nose. I'm like, here we go. And I come back up, and Abby's exact words, I swear to God, to me were, "Don't you got a blade?" I'm like, oh. So I said,
"Here's the bad choice." It's a
brilliant idea, you know. I said, "All calm as could be, you know. He's a professional. I trust him. I trust my own skills."
Oh,
you know?
No.
I says, "How about you take your fork and just work it around in that cut a little bit? You know, I'm saying it all nice and calm. You know, just, you know, open it up a little bit with that thing.
Just work it around a little bit, Abby. Yeah. You still
gonna
have to do a little butcher right now?
Okay. I still got the parts here." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I got color now. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, boss."
That's why I stayed with Homicide the whole night.
Yeah. If you watch that tape, and I learned a lot from this. I do this on purpose sometimes now. You know, say what you want to about Abby, but he did nothing a lot during the match, right? And at some point,
he walked around a little bit.
Yeah. Down something. And I did a spot with Homicide where I ended up suplexing him. When I got back up to my feet, Abby, they got the same body, so I didn't screw it up.
How dare you?
Abby's standing in the corner, you know, and I'm there by myself. And I got a chair there. I'm like, if it was anybody else, I'd just go over and blister him with a chair. He's just standing there. So I did. Pow. And he slaps it down, picks that fork up, and it comes as close as he can to running it. And if you watch that tape, I am – legitimately,
hey, Oliver, you hear how I'm not even in the ring with him right now. You understand?
I'm backing up, legitimately running away, and thinking, "Huh." And then I'm like, "Well, I can't literally run away. I'm gonna have to just stop and take this." And the fans are going, "Oh shit, oh," you know, mad. And I think he's really mad. But then he came light as a feather on me. I'm like, "That's brilliant." You know what I mean? He even pulled me there for a minute.
Well, he's a madman from Hussein, but you know,
yeah.
Yeah. In terms of what you were saying, you know, during 2002, it did build up. But you know, you were saying with Natural Born Sinners and the Hit Squad, and you moved up to the Night of the Butcher main event. So it was good storytelling, and you know, just goes to show what I've been saying about you guys, that you were a highly underrated tag team in ROH history. So, yeah, that next kind of major point was Masada joining the Carnage crew. What did you make of Masada, and was he a good fit for the crew?
I think he was a real good fit. You know, I didn't know he's a sick bastard like he is, but he's a sick bastard.
But, I think H.G. Lokes froze.
Uh-oh. Hopefully his phone didn't die. He said he had 15% battery.
He did, yeah.
No, Masada, I thought, was a really good fit, though. What, you want to keep going, or are we going to wait for him?
We got 19 minutes.
We should, yeah, do it.
Yep, and before the technical difficulties, I was just mentioning Masada joining the Carnage crew.
We didn't know nothing of Masada at that time. We just knew he was coming out of Shawn Michaels' school, which I think he was trained by Rudy Boy at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just knew they were coming out. We didn't know nothing about him, really. But
no,
I guess he liked hardcore wrestling, though. I guess we knew that, right?
We found out real quick if we didn't know it. But, yeah. I thought that just corny way I think of things sometimes. At the time, our entrance music was by a band called Crowbar, one of my favorite metal bands of all time. Yep. And
Sorry.
And... The name of the album that the song was on was called Time Heals Nothing. Okay. The day we meet Masada, he's got a, I look down, he's got a tattoo on his leg that says Time Heals Nothing on it. I'm like, all right, this must be meant to be. You're the guy.
All right. Did you guys share a room that night? Come on.
No, it was in the locker room. God damn.
But, but yes,
he, you know what? Masada had a good look to him. He looked different. Even though he wasn't bald like us or whatever, but he fit in with us still. I thought he was a good fit into the Carnage Crew group.
Perfectly.
Yeah. And he was a good kid. You know, he listened and he was respectful. Very good. We liked him right off the bat. So,
yeah.
Very good dude.
And he was another guy I could come up with ideas to do the dangerous stuff so I didn't have to. Because before then, I did all that with Tony. So it was I got an idea.
Tony didn't do anything. The bar part. The most dangerous thing he did was wrestle Abdullah the Butcher. That was it.
That's dangerous enough, though, to be
fair.
Yeah,
well, I did everything else, so I let him get that.
That's right. I would say that
on the moonsaults to the outside.
I got a great idea. I'll duck something, and then Tony will take the thumbtacks. That match would be great.
Yeah, that's all right. Listen, I carried Angel, so I might as well have done that with you too, pal.
Yeah.
I got two Martys, Oliver. I don't know if you know that. I'm the Sean of both teams, Baldy's and the Carnage Crew. And I got two Martys. It's hard having two Martys, bro. Hard.
See, the thing is,
Marty and I've never teamed with them. That's how
well, long they argue with each other, too. Who's the better Marty? And, you know, it's crazy.
See, the thing is, for me, I prefer Marty Jannetty. So, you know.
There you go. All right.
I love Marty. Listen, I love Marty Jannetty. That dude was a great worker, man.
Yeah.
I respect the heck out of that dude. Mm. Great worker.
Yeah. And yeah, since you just mentioned like the Texas Wrestling Academy, the lineage of Rudy Boy Gonzalez's training, you know, especially in Ring of Honor, was fantastic, wasn't it?
Really, very much. Yeah. He provided a lot of guys, and those guys were, you talk about paying your dues, and they did everything right. Those guys would drive from Texas.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, they didn't have a deal for flights or anything when they first started. I don't know if they ever did. But,
I don't think they ever did.
And I think Rudy was, you know, I train guys now. DeVito's trained guys in the past. We try to take care of our students. But he would, after all his years in the business, he'd rent a van and bring his students out there for an opportunity. And how can you not love guys like that?
And they got an opportunity. That was the best part. They got an opportunity. Dude, I mean, the guys that they would bring, like Hernandez and Blind Eddie, Fast Eddie, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The group of dudes that actually came out of there, there were some really good workers in that group.
Yeah.
And we worked all those guys. We had a feud against the Texas Wrestling Academy. That's pretty cool.
You need to stop reading my notes there, Tony. That's coming up a little bit later. But just for myself, because you was around the guy, and he's my favorite modern day professional wrestler. Paul London. Sorry, Tony. Paul London. What was he like as a person and around the ROH locker room?
He was cool too, man. He had like that. He had like that RVD vibe to him, which kind of came out. It came out way better when he teamed with Spanky and WWE. Came out much better at that point, but he always had that personality behind the scenes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good guy, good kid.
Yeah.
Super talent.
Yeah, and as a wrestler, obviously had a lot of, you know, fantastic matches in 2002 and 2003 before he left.
Right.
Quit, too. I mean, he was one of Rudy's guys or Sean's guys that came out, and then, like, two shows later, Gabe had the foresight to put him to have him do something special, whatever it was, and work with Dragon or Spanky or somebody. Mm-hmm. And it worked like a charm, and he was over. I mean, as over as you get.
Yeah.
You know, in front of that.
He wasn't as over as I am, but that's.
Well.
No one's as over as you are, Tony.
No one falls over as much as you, buddy.
And just quickly, because we talked about in the ROH review, ROH throwback match yesterday. I think you've just touched on it, Tony. He was in an incredible street fight with Michael Shane at Unscripted. You guys were behind the scenes. Was that like a sellout at the you know, the curtain, or you know, how did you you see that match?
I kind of think so. I remember watching that from the curtain. That was They had a nice little emotional thing afterwards. I think somebody turned on somebody there, but yeah. But that was a pretty big night. That was a cool place to be, man, because like we said earlier, about how everybody's eyes were on and everybody was talking about it on the internet, something like that would happen, that match.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew you were around something special, you know, yeah. And we got to feel a little bit of the tail end of that in ECW.
Yeah.
Admittedly, probably past the glory days, you know, maybe, but you know, when you're living right now in Ring of Honor, and that match was a big example of that. You're like, man, something special is going on right here, right now.
And we're
watching. It was cool.
Well, yeah, being able to be at that Ring of Honor at that time was definitely cool. It was kind of like being for ECW at that push of the momentum of the ECW stage. You know, yeah, we got there at the end of that stage, but great place to be still. But yeah, Ring of Honor had that vibe, which was it was awesome. You know, it was awesome being part of that. I loved all my time in Ring of Honor. Like, for us, we mentored so many guys there. So like, it was a special time. Even though for me, I didn't care if that was my last hurrah because I was having a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't bother me. You know,
like, yeah,
it was a great time. It was a great time. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and since you like mentioned like the buzz and the hype behind matches and stuff, and you talked about ECW, the Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn series, both you guys were behind the scenes for that. Was that as kind of revered then as it is now?
Absolutely. That was those guys, they did it quite often then for a while, and you talk about a curtain sellout. That was everybody was watching that. Because how are they going to top what they did last time? What can they even do differently? I thought they did everything last time, you know, and then they always found a way to do it, you know.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
That was man, those guys had some great matches. You know, I got to work both of those guys. Jerry Lynn is great. Great. That's all. He's great.
Jerry Lynn.
My first TV match in ECW. That's the first time I was on TV was with him.
Yeah.
And we had a great match. And Paul, you know, the dude is so good, man. And RVD is too in his way. But man, Jerry Lynn. But everybody knows that anyway. Everybody knows Jerry's great.
He's also the greatest dude in the business behind the scenes, as far as
just great because like he's cool. So like low key and he's not loud, but man, he loves death metal. It's crazy.
That was funny, but you wouldn't think that's his personality at all. But he was a guy when we started too. Tony did too, you know. He came in helping with the ring in ECW, you know, looking for an opportunity, as every young boy should.
Yeah.
And he was the only guy, not to crap on anybody else, but every night he would come out and shake all the rinks hands, thank everybody.
He's just a class act, dude.
And every show I'm on ever since then, 20 years ago, I do that. And I think about, and I tell my students to do that. Mm-hmm. But that all comes from Jerry. Best dude ever.
Yeah, really, really big fan of Jerry Lynn, and it's great to hear he's as good a wrestler as he is a person. So, moving forward into 2003, your first of many number one contenderships for the ROH Tag Team Championships in the match that you guys created, as you said earlier, the Scramble match. In this match, you took on AJ Styles without a partner. The backseat boys of Johnny Cashmere and the late, great Trent Acid. And the Spanish announce team, the SATs, Joel and Jose Maximo.
I just want to clarify. We didn't really make those matches. Gabe came up with the idea. We just came up with how to actually work those matches.
Right. Oh, okay.
That's really what it comes from.
That was his. He said he came. I remember being on the phone with him. And he was likening them to like a lucha style match, you know. And then it kind of became our thing to call those matches and kind of agent them.
Right. You know, we came up even with the style
in a while, you know. Yeah. So, well, this is what it is. Blah 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 blah. I think I said that earlier that we created them. We definitely that was Gabe's team. But as far as the style of what we were.
You perfected them, maybe.
And Gabe did tell me the idea actually came from not only Lucha, there was a match that we did at the arena in ECW. It was the Baldies, the FBI. It was a four-way match. Nova and Chetty, FBI. And we all did a four-way. And Joey and Christian, too. Joey and Christian. And that was, it was like a scramble type of match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Gabe told me he got the idea. And I was like, oh, so, okay. So since I worked that match, I kind of, we were, me and him, me and Loke just came up with the ideas of everything else to do in there.
Yeah.
And then all the guys took it from there and went to different levels. So,
yeah.
Sure. We, it's kind of like the formula, here's the structure. And then
we were definitely innovators.
A lot of those guys had so much creative offense, you know, that, you know, wasn't our strong suit anyway, so we just kind of plugged it into the right places, and then, you know, it was cool.
Right.
Yeah. In terms of that, did you see back in 2003 that AJ Styles was going to be the star he is today?
Oh yeah, yeah, he's great. AJ's another one that's just great.
Yeah, he's a. I will say, and you know, not to get off on a tangent, because DeVito yells at me about my opinion sometimes. But I don't know. I don't know why he's not talked about in the Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels category. I really don't. Like, he is the way he makes his opponent is so much, you know, which is all wrestling is, by the way, if you want to be careful, is how you bump and sell, and, you know, and how you make your opponent. But he was
fantastic.
Well, that's
why Jerry Lynn's one of the best, isn't it? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. But I think AJ's recognized for that too, though. I mean,
I'm sure he's recognized for it.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Mean, he's given mad respect by everybody out here.
He is. And I hear people refer to him as the best in the world, and maybe he is, but I think he's one of the best of all time. I really do.
Yeah, he's great. AJ's great. He's flawless. He's great.
And I remember that might have been the only interaction we had with him was that match. I'm not sure, but I remember that match.
Yeah, I don't think we got to – like, I would have liked to have worked him more, you know?
Yeah. I've always from that night, thought that pound for pound, which is an overused term, but pound for pound, he was like the strongest dude I maybe was ever in the ring with. Because dudes – flip around or do whatever they're going to do, and he could just catch him and not go down. You know what I mean? And he's not a huge man, you know, but he's a hell of an athlete.
So you'd put AJ Styles in the same category as like Bret Hart.
I mean, just different. Like, I think we look at it differently because I was a kid when Bret Hart was around. So I grew up with that. So it's like, to me, that's a different category, you know, but
me too.
Yeah. He's definitely up there. He might not be in that one, but he's in this one, but on the same level. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, guys were different, in my opinion,
unfortunately, he passed away. Do you have any, you know, thoughts and feelings and stories on maybe the late, great Trent Acid?
That's our brother.
There's a lot of stories we cannot tell. A lot.
Gave the disclaimer before. That's our brother.
That one.
I was telling the story the other day. Where I'm sitting right now, I'm about a quarter mile away from where I was the day Tony called me and told me he died. I could see it. I remember exactly where it was. This is Tony. You know, he don't beat around the bush. Pick up the phone. He goes, "Yo." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Trent Acid died." I go, "Bullshit, man." I go, "No, I swear to God. I swear to God he's dead. Sorry for cursing, but that was.
No, that's fine.
Right then, you know, and that was a bad one. And that's probably, and I know I might be forgetting somebody, but we can talk about a lot of wrestlers dying tragically in our lifetime, you know, but that was our brother.
Trent was just a great guy. And Johnny too, you know, Johnny Cash was another dude, a great dude too, Trent, man, I don't think everyone loves him. Everyone loves Trent. Not because he's dead. Everyone loved Trent before that, you know?
Yeah. Really talented guy.
Yeah. And I got to do Trent's memorial show, which was really cool. You didn't get to do that, Loke.
I was with you. I teamed with you.
We did team that? Oh, we did team that night.
Yeah. I was, remember Nick Gage was there and we didn't know who he was.
Oh, yeah. So that was, I told you.
Gotta love Tony DeVito's memory.
I had to blow him right off. Yeah, you didn't do that, bro. We got to do the that was great. That was being great just to be able to go down and be a part of that, because I love the guy, man.
Yeah.
I love him. I didn't get paid. Loke didn't get paid. Drove from friggin' Bath, New York, wherever the heck that is.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Bath, New York. No one knows where that is.
That's not really. It's
the really sad thing about it is, where would he be now? Right. He was so supremely talented that great. You could probably see him tearing up NXT, couldn't you?
Absolutely. For sure. I mean, I think that'd be a given. You know, if we took away, you know, I'm not going to talk about his personal business. Everybody knows how his life ended. But, you know, if that wasn't a factor in his life, he's a no-brainer for being there and being a top guy. Yeah. If not higher than that, if not aging somewhere by now, I don't know how old he would have been.
Well, he had the charisma. Yeah. He had the ability. He's athletic. You know, he had everything,
you know. He just looks like a star, you know.
Yeah. He had the incredible matches with Homicide in the company as well, didn't he? That kind of brought him up. Yeah.
Yeah,
so this was the first time you wrestled the SATs as well in this scramble match. Any thoughts and feelings on those guys?
SATs, man, those guys were a lot of fun, man, because they, first of all, I'll tell you what, I think they were Mikey Whipwreck's kids.
I think Mikey trained them.
Those dudes are so respectful of all the guys that came before them. I love those guys because they treated us with so much respect. They had so much respect. Those guys were great. Working with them was really cool because they were getting over and they did some cool stuff, you know? And my biggest memory, we were wrestling them, and I forget, we had so many matches, but we were doing a match one night, and I loved the Spanish Fly. I loved the and I could moonsault. So we did something one night where I guess it was a four-way or whatever, or a scramble.
I
got up there and did the Spanish Fly with them. We did a tag team Spanish Fly. So it was one of them and me. It was awesome. Okay. That's my favorite memory.
And for yourself, HC?
Yeah, well, probably the – again, going back to me having great ideas for scary stuff for other people to do, the first scramble cage match, which was another thing that we kind of did. In fact, I built the thing for, you know,
Stop reading my notes there, HC. That's
my SAT story. We got there and you know, Tony and I, you know, everybody contributed, but you know, that's how the business works. We were the veterans and, our job was to teach guys there, you know, so. We kind of get everybody around, and I said, and first thing I said is, hey, you guys want to do the Spanish Fly off the top of the cage? And he's like, yes. And he turned to his partner. He's like, yeah, he said, yeah. He said, we'll do the Spanish Fly off the cage. So they did that. And I don't know how they did it. We had our match later, the one that we talked about earlier with Dusty came and coming out of the end, and DeVito did the pile driver on Azrael off the top of the thing.
Yeah.
And we always do that as a spike. And we always do that as a spike pile driver for our finish. And I was going to get up there and just spike him down. I got up there. I'm like, I can't even stand up. I don't know. Yeah, Boozy, you know, but
although that finish was not your idea, that was his idea.
That was his idea. That was
He's
his
nuts.
He came up with a month before. Like a month before, he came up to us at another show. He goes, hey, when we do that, you want to do your finish off top?
Well, if you remember, that was Jersey All Pro against Ring Honor. Remember, and I teamed with Trent and you teamed with Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean's versus Marty. Night. Yeah.
You got notes about that, Oliver, or no?
No.
So we did a Jersey
You can
All
talk,
Pro
man.
Show.
That's cool.
Well, we did a Jersey All Pro show that was combined with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why it happened or what stipulations it was, but me and Trent Acid teamed together.
Oh, wow.
against Loke and Johnny Cashmere. So it was two Martys against the team against two Shawns. So of course, me and Trent. So man, that was the night it was announced that we were main event in Scramble Cage, and we go in the back. Because it was announced right after our match. We were still in the ring.
Yeah.
We go in the back. Azrael comes right up to me. He goes, spike pile driver off the top of the cage. And I was like, F no. I told him straight up, F no. But the kid's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah. Was the Jersey All Pro Ring of Honor show called Collision Course? Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
I have to see that match, though. So if either of you have got that, I want to see the Shawns against the Martys.
Yeah, that was not too long ago.
That's wicked. And Tony touched on this earlier because he's been reading my notes. Your feud with the Texas Wrestling Academy. What do you remember of this?
Well, like we said, you know, we loved those guys because they were like us and they were doing everything right and they were driving in and they just wanted the opportunity. And, not a one of them that wasn't super respectful, wasn't up for anything, you know, and they were all trained right. And it was, that was my, we did some, cool. We got some hardcore matches with them too, as I recall.
Yeah.
I've split Rudy back of Rudy's head open with something one night. I we did some cool stuff with them. And of course Masada was one of those guys too, so that's kind of all worked together. But
right.
Yeah, that was fun. We're going with Don Juan, we always call him.
And Fast Eddie, was he blind?
Yeah, blind Eddie.
Yeah. Blind Eddie, we always called him. Yeah. He was very, I don't know how he did that.
I don't know how he did it.
Amazing.
But,
the dude couldn't walk through the airport without holding on to somebody, but he could wrestle. I don't get it.
He threw muscles to the outside. But
So for me, with the feud with those guys, I'm a huge Shawn Michaels mark. I love Shawn Michaels. I got to spend a lot of time with him when I did WWE stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was an honor to work with those guys for me because they came from Shawn. So to me, I took it as, okay, I'm gonna help these kids out. I mean, it was our job anyway, me and Lokes, to help out all the new kids coming in. You see, anytime new kids came in, they fed them to us.
Yeah.
And whether we beat them or put them over, whatever the deal was, they were there to learn from us. And that's why Gabe did it. Gabe would tell us, you need to teach these guys how to work.
Yeah.
But anyway, those guys knew how to work anyway. So that was great. So, but that I took it as an honor because they were showing students, you know, from his school and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I thought it was great. Didn't we do something, Loke, with that kid from Tough Enough when we beat him up? Wasn't that during that time too?
Was that there?
I don't know. Remember that? Who was that dude we beat up?
I don't remember us doing that. I did something with a tough enough kid on an indie show, and I
that was gave indie him a blood. Show. Was I thought that was Ring of Honor.
I don't remember you being there.
Yeah,
they might have happened more than once with more than one of them. But
I think you're a little confused. I think it was Ring of Honor, not an indie show, and I was there.
I can remember the one I'm thinking of, and there must have been another one. But
he was a Chinese kid. I'm not trying to point anything out.
But that's the one I'm talking about.
Right? Yeah, I was there. You dumb.
Oh, that's right. Because I wrestled him on an indie, and
I'm begging this kid
with my manager. And I snap mirror the kid, give him a.
That wasn't Ring of Honor.
That head, no, and it was later. Then he came. Then he showed up Ring of Honor later. After this happened.
Was that what it was? Because I remember. Yeah. All right.
If you guys have a fight, does that mean I've got to be the guest referee?
Yeah, it's golf. Put the price on, kid.
So since you mentioned Shawn Michaels there, Tony, is he, you know, in terms of his reputation back then, is that true or false?
What was that?
In terms of his reputation in the 90s, is it exaggerated?
No, I think he was a dick, but he wasn't a dick to me.
Mm-hmm.
To my guys, you know, me, Mike Bell, you know, Justin Credible, PJ Palak. He wasn't like that to us. Like, he was really cool with us. And that's why, you know, I know the stories too, but he didn't, you know, he could have been that way to us and he wasn't, which is kind of weird, you know. And I don't know. I don't really got nothing bad to say. He never treated me bad, ever.
Fair enough. I just wanted your opinion because you were there.
Yeah.
Once again, you're talking about guys coming in, young guys coming in, and you're feuding with them. So Special K, this was a long feud, but I just picked out the one thing. Hydro, who is Jay Lethal, the franchise of ROH now.
I love Jay Lethal.
Much like AJ, did you see the potential in Jay Lethal to be the man that he is today?
Speaking for me, I knew he'd be good, you know, of course. I don't know if I called he would have been champion.
No.
But I guess I wouldn't have said no way, he's not going to be champion either. But yeah. I don't know that was something like, boy, this guy's going to be the guy here someday. But he certainly is, you know, and he certainly earned it. So,
I feel the same way. Like, that kid, he just loved being there. His family loved being there. His mother and his father and his sisters, and they loved being there, dude. And he did too. And I loved him just because of his love for the business, you know?
Me too.
He was a great kid. Always happy, always smiling. I love that kid. I love him still.
Yeah.
Fantastic guy. And I just think it says a lot about somebody too, that his mom and dad and sister were there all the time. And they're always, you know, hugging and kissing on, you know, and they saw you, you know, and he was, you know, just a great human being, you know, and his love for the business, and again, up for anything, you know, and so smooth and so good. And then, you know, look where he is now, you know, he deserves it.
Yeah. And then, like, a possible conflict of interest for you, Tony, since you're very high on Jay Lethal, the guy that you trained, the second ever ROH champion and the all-around best, Xavier's taking on Jay Lethal at Past versus Present. Right. How do you see this one going?
I think that's awesome. I mean, I trained Xavier, so to me, it's a cool accomplishment in my book. A lot of people don't know I trained him. There's a lot of people out there, people don't know I trained
I was going to come to the people who you've trained towards the end of the interview, but because we were talking about Jay Lethal, it makes sense to put in the past versus present.
I think it's great for Xavier to get out there and get in there. I mean, I don't think people know he was good. You know, he's a real good athlete, could do a lot of good stuff, and you know, he had a huge following in the that Northeast New York area, you know. But he's a good kid too, man. I think I've known that kid since he was, I don't know, 15 or 16. I forget when he started training. He was young. Yeah. He used to take the train up to him. I used to pick him up at the train station. We'd go to the ring, work out, train, drive him back to the train station. He took the train down back home every Saturday. Every Saturday that kid was there.
Yeah.
So good for him, man. It's great. You know, he deserves it. You know, he was a world champion for Ring of Honor, so why not bring him back? And with Jay Lethal, I think it's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And in terms of, have you seen the promo, the Choices promo that he cut to accept Jay Lethal's challenge?
No, I didn't see that.
I saw some of it. He's got the hoodie on type thing.
Yeah,
on
his head.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I just saw a bit of it. Yeah.
Plus, he lives in this. Well, no, where does he live now? I think he lives in Connecticut. I don't know where he lives. He moved. He lived in New York City, so that's the perfect background to cut promos in, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone's moved, Tony, yourself included. So
I live in Florida now, man. The sunshine.
Yeah, got to enjoy that sunshine. We are extremely proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. They are our hosts, and we really appreciate it. So go follow them on Twitter at BBGW Wrestling, at BBGW Pod, and BBGWrestling.com. We have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, and they have over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Use that on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. To myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. Firstly, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. ROH is in this book, so that's the reason to buy it. I was at Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as ROH Wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 too. Second up is a book that I don't usually promote, but it has ROH alumni in it. It's A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. If you want to find out what happened with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc., make sure you read this book. And lastly, Fans Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took ROH alumni, my modern-day favourite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title, and it's in this book. And then for all three books, are available on paperback and Kindle Limited for free. Signed via my Big Cartel, so contact me on fansperspective.bigcartel.com, and that is fine and dandy. Lastly, our social media. So Twitter is at ROH Review, Instagram is at ROH Review. We now have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because that's when we were established. YouTube is one of those funny things that we have to put in the description, and our email is rohreviewoutlook.com. comments, questions, feedback, send it our way via any of those social medias, and we will crack on with what you need to know. So thank you very much for all your support so far. We will be back with ROH review. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you very much for all the support from the wrestlers, from the fans, from the 10,000 odd listeners on SoundCloud. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Bye.